Sustainable Idaho is a collaboration between the Portneuf Resource Council and the ISU Sustainability Club.
Welcome to Sustainable Idaho, the show where we explore the economic, societal, and environmental implications of sustainability within Idaho. I'm Scott Greaves.
And I'm Rachel McGovern.
Last week on Sustainable Idaho, we heard the striking story of Lonesome Larry. Larry was the only sockeye salmon that successfully returned to Idaho's Redfish Lake in 1992. His story highlighted the dire state of salmon populations within Idaho and the desperate need for action.
Yeah, and we also sat down with Russ Thoreau, a fisheries research scientist for the U.S. Forest Service, to talk about what Idaho salmon need to survive. Russ told us that salmon need three things to survive: natal habitat, which is freshwater spawning and rearing habitat, an estuary and an ocean, and a suitable migration corridor to and from the ocean. And last week, Russ made it clear that the major problem is the lack of a suitable migration corridor. Simply, this is because of the 8 dams that exist along the Columbia and the Snake Rivers.
But Rachel, while we may know what salmon need to survive, do we actually know what's being done to help restore salmon populations? And how does climate change tie into this whole conversation?
Two things that we can do to bring the wild fish back are start taking out the dams on the lower Snake River. That would be a huge help, and dealing with climate change. Regardless, we have to deal with climate change. We can survive the dams by adding millions of hatchery fish and getting a few thousand back from that fraction of 1% returning. We can still maintain the hatchery fish. But with climate change, we have to deal with that, and we have to deal with it within the next decade or so, or the fish are going to probably go away.
You're hearing from Mike Larkin, retired biologist for Idaho Fish and Game.
As Mike explains, we need to address two key factors if we want to save the salmon. The first is to remove the dams, and the second is to tackle climate change as a society. However, both of these issues are daunting, politically sensitive, and have economic implications.
We started by asking Mike if he believes that the dams will be removed in the future.
I think so. I think the politics of the situation are changing. I think more and more people, the tribes are throughout the system, are convinced that the dams are the biggest problem. Virtually everybody that's not subsidized by the dams realizes that, yes, the dams are a huge problem, and we can easily replace them nowadays with wind and solar. So we don't have to rely on that hydropower production that was important before. And we could save money. The biggest thing is we could save the taxpayers money by getting rid of them, because as they fill in with sediment and the dams start to crumble, we don't want to spend billions of dollars rebuilding system that's going to hurt the fish.
As Mike touched on there, environmental, social, and increasingly economic interests now support dam removal. However, in the previous weeks, we've learned that dams are important for a number of stakeholders, most notably farmers. We asked Mike about the relationship between dams and farmers.
You have to realize that there was a whole industry that's developed around dams. Before the dams, the river was so far down into the canyon that the irrigators couldn't afford to pump the water up to their fields in the lower Snake River system. When the dams went in, it raised the water level 100 feet. So now they could stick their irrigation pumps in there, and they opened up a lot of land for basically wheat production. So we've developed this whole industry around the dams. So these farmers get basically a subsidized transportation to the ocean, and they get a subsidized irrigation with that water delivery system. So they very much don't want to lose the dams.
However, Mike explains that this isn't a sustainable situation.
We could actually save the federal government money by breaching the dams because they are so expensive to operate. And the other big thing that most people don't realize is anytime you put a dam on a river, it immediately starts filling up with sediment. All the mud coming in starts to build up. The uppermost dam is filling in at about 1% a year. So it's about 50% full. It's about 50 years old. So over the next 50 years, that dam is basically going to be worthless for hydropower production. It's going to be very difficult to maintain barge traffic through there. It's going to require dredging all the time. And as those dams get close to 100 years old, they're going to have to be rebuilt. So breaching them now would actually save a lot of money and use wind and solar to generate electricity. We would have to improve the railroads so that farmers could get their wheat to the ocean, and we would have to come up with a different way to deliver them water, but that's doable. So it'd still be cheaper than maintaining those dams and reservoirs in that artificial environment, and it would bring the fish back.
Well, we've heard from Mike that climate change and the role it plays in increasing water temperature is having an effect on salmon, both in the marine and freshwater stages of their life cycle. In the ocean, climate change and ocean acidification is having pronounced impacts on ecosystems, altering food webs, disrupting nutrient dynamics, and ultimately affecting food sources for salmon. In the freshwater environment, climate change is increasing the river water temperature, and this is killing the salmon. They need cold water to survive. And the problem is confounded by human modifications to the river corridor, which are also increasing water temperature. As we deforest the riparian area along the riverbanks, we remove the natural shade and increase the erosion, which makes the river shallower and warmer, not to mention the slow-moving water in reservoirs behind dams, which is also much warmer than the natural river temperature.
Exactly. I mean, they still have to come up the Columbia and Snake and Salmon Rivers, and they're all getting warmer, and they're all right at that critical point of once the water temperature gets over about 68 degrees Fahrenheit, they can no longer grow. And once it gets into the low 70s, they're under severe stress. Once it gets over about 75 degrees Fahrenheit, they start dying at a fairly rapid rate. And we're right on that borderline right now in the low 70s. So they're under stress in the midsummer when they're coming up the system, and it just causes additional mortality, lowers egg production, lowers egg survival. It just hurts the overall productivity of the species.
Right now, we are band-aiding the issue of the dams and climate change by introducing hatchery fish into the system. Hatcheries represent a temporary solution and is currently providing the only opportunity for anglers, but this isn't sustainable for long-term salmon survival, and it doesn't promote a self-sustaining and genetically diverse natural salmon population. Finally, we asked Mike what our listeners can do to get involved in this issue.
Well, certainly they can write their elected representatives and say, hey, we need to breach these dams. We need to start the process, and we need to mitigate for the farmers that have depended on this system that we've built up. So we need to help them as we start to slowly knock out one dam at a time as we go down the system. Start at the top and start taking them down. And we need to do that in the next decade. And they need to tell their elected representatives that we need to deal with climate change. We need to convert to renewable energy. We need to stop using fossil fuels, and that will save the oceans and cool the water down. So that's extremely important.
There is hope for salmon in Idaho. If we can give salmon a fighting chance, they will return. They have the ability to spawn in large numbers. We just need to give them the opportunity.
Thanks to Mike Larkin this week. You can listen back to Sustainable Idaho and additional content, including full interviews with Mike and Russ, by visiting KISU.org and navigating to the Sustainable Idaho program link.
Sustainable Idaho airs Tuesday morning at 7:35. Thank you to our partners, the Portneuf Resource Council and ISU Sustainability Club. Links to this and past programs can be found at KISU.org.